I want to make a statement here that in essence, brethren, Jesus Christ, when he was recorded in the Gospels, his messages were in a sense coded messages. It was written in code. In other words, this is why he kept saying to those who have ears to hear, let them hear. When he said that, not everybody had ears to hear. It's very important to understand that, brethren. It really is. And it's very important, brethren, to understand that when you're part of the true church of God, it puts you in a different category. Now, I've said this over and over again, and I don't want to sort of, overdo it. But it's very important to understand that when you are a part of the true church of God, you do have ears to hear. These messages that were recorded by Christ's apostles, by Matthew in this case, they are coded messages because most of the world can read them. They will receive positive principles, but they don't really understand the actual message that's contained therein. Now, it's interesting. Matthew, the 26th chapter, we read in the first two verses here. I want to set the stage, and this is going to be pretty quick, brethren, because it's just a short sermonette. But I want to just bring you in to what time element we're at as this was being recorded, because it was just coming up to the Passover. We have the Passover, brethren, coming up in about a month and a half. And so if we can get it in our minds, a basic principle that I want to get across, we can focus on the Passover with this principle in mind, and it should elevate our working towards the Passover. It should make it that much more meaningful. But anyway, in verse 20 or verse 1 of chapter 26, it says, "It came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings," referring to the sayings in Matthew 25, Matthew 24, leading up to that point where he began to get ready for the Passover. So he had given some messages. So he said all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover," as Jesus Christ manner was, he always went back to the basics. And the basics, brethren, of true Christianity, of course, is the Passover, the holy days, and so on and so forth, which depict the plan of God. Very special meaning to it. But he was going through the chapter prior to this, which is Matthew, the 25th chapter. And again, brethren, if you understand, it's a coded chapter. It's coded. You can't fully understand it unless God opens your mind. And when you come into the church of God, he's calling you and he gives you a higher, an elevated understanding of what this message is. To be precise, brethren, I want to go very quickly into just laying the groundwork of what this message is all about. Verses 1 through 30 generally are a message to the church. It's directed specifically to the church. Now, you come to verse 31, and it says here in verse 31, it changes because Christ has come back and he's talking to an entire group of people. It's directed to a different group of people, which is the world. And what this is, brethren, going forward to verse 46, it brings in the world to Christ's audience. And he has something specific to say to them. But by implication, the principle applies to us too. It's a principle of God's nature. It says in verse 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him. Then he shall sit on the throne of his glory. So it's changed. You know, we're not in the world like that right now. Christ's not sitting on the throne of his glory. Not at all. Not yet. He's with his Father in heaven. But there's a change because the audience shifts and he's talking to the world at this point. It says here, and before him, verse 32, shall be gathered all nations. All nations. And then another judgment begins, brethren. You and I are under a specific judgment right now, which is a judgment to salvation. That's what you are called to. It's a judgment to salvation. The world has not been called yet to their judgment to salvation, but they will. But there is another judgment, brethren, that everybody is sort of under to a degree right now. Because, you know, why does the Great Tribulation happen? It's because mankind goes over the cliff. He rejects basic biblical values and goes over the cliff. He's not pulling back and living according to a reasonable standard, which is what God expects humanity to do. But there's one thing, brethren, that we all need to do in our lives. And these people, of course, the world will be evaluated based on this. Because it says in verse 35, it says, I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Brethren, we're talking here about a principle of give. It's the nature of God. Now, you are a giver, brethren, in a lot of ways that you don't realize. You have opted to come to be a part of a church that tries to give the precious truth to this world. That's what you're doing. Some work, or a lot work actually, and they try to provide for their families. That's give. That is give, brethren. And that's reaching out to people to try to help people. That is God's nature. You can't go against that, brethren. You can't lose by having that nature. Let's read a little bit further. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Verse 37, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when did we do this? When did this happen? And he said, when you do it to somebody else, basically any poor human out there, anybody, you know, any member of the Church of God, you kind of reach out to them and try to help them. Then he says, you're doing it to me. You're doing it to me. Brethren, that is qualified. I want to give you the title of this. It's simply give, G-I-V-E, give. Because that is the nature of God. When you really think about it, brethren, God is the ultimate giver. He really, really is. It's a well-known fact that some of the most miserable people in the world are multi-billionaires. Not all of them. Some of them are very happy people, brethren, because they look at their billions or millions and they're givers. They give. It's an outward thing. They want to help people. And I may say, brethren, if you have a good job, a good type of an occupation, in one sense, you are a giver because you're contributing to society. You're contributing to the work of God. You are trying to help your family. You are a giver. And that's why it's probably an important thing to try to focus on. Say, what kind of occupation should I have? Should I be down at the casino, you know, working at the casino? Probably not. But if your occupation entails that you are doing something positive for society, there's a spin-off effect, then it's a good occupation and you actually have the opportunity to be a giver. Very wonderful thing. Brethren, it is so important. You know, as I said, some of the most miserable people in the world are millionaires, the, you know, tremendously rich, or who are just focused on materialism. That desire to gain materialism, that materialistic mindset, it's not going to make you happy. But if we're focused on the giving aspect, like what I have, I'm willing to share. It's a well-known fact, brethren. You don't have to be a part of the church, but it's been understood that people who have that mindset, they're the happiest people in the world. They're the happiest. They really are. It's a law. It's a law, a spiritual law, a spiritual principle. And it's incredibly important, brethren. And I have noticed, I mean, I have wanted to be, you know, I think we'd like to be rich so that we could be really, really more givers and, you know, the ultimate givers. Well, maybe we will have an opportunity, brethren, because God says that when he comes back, he's going to give us a tremendous amount of blessing spiritually. In closing, I want to go to Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke, the 12th chapter, brethren, God wants us to be givers now. And however you figure that, and however you kind of think it through in your mind, pray about it. You know, one of the best ways to be a giver, brethren, is to give our time to God and to devote a certain amount of time of the day to God. You're giving your time to God. It's the best time that you could possibly spend, and God will bless us for it, of course. But in closing, let's read Luke, the 12th chapter. Here's what God wants to give you. He wants to give me, because we have demonstrated in this life that we are striving to be givers as well in a right way. Luke, the 12th chapter, and verse 32. Well, actually, verse 31 we begin. But rather seek you first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you, brethren. If you seek the kingdom of God, you position yourself, you posture yourself in a give posture. Nobody could be in God's kingdom if we're all takers and getters. In other words, we're trying to get. To be a part of God's spiritual kingdom, we have to be givers. We really do. And it says here in verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Brethren, you think God wants to hang on to the kingdom all for himself so he can sit there and say, well, it's all mine. I can go off in the woods in a cabin somewhere and just enjoy the solitude. No, he wants to share eternity with you and I. He wants to give us eternity. He's developing a family, a tremendous thing. Brethren, let's appreciate that. And I think in a little way, as we move forward towards Passover, let's focus on the word give and how we can develop that characteristic even more so than we have as a church and as a people. And we can really develop that full mindset of God.